Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time it is for you, ladies and gentlemen. You're back with Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. I'm Marcus.
I'm Audrey.
And today we're happy to have with us Jocelyn Landry-Tsonang. Hello, Jocelyn.
Hello, Marcus. Hello, Audrey.
Hello.
Hello.
So Jocelyn, for our listeners, tell us, where are you?
Right now.
I'm based in Cameroon, Yaoundé precisely.
Yaoundé, okay, wow. Well, do you often work with Europe?
Or are you more or less exclusively in Africa?
No. I work globally. So I work with Europe, I work with South America as well, somehow connected to Asia as well.
Okay,
good.
So talk to us about yourself. Who are you? What is your background? And what are you doing today?
Okay, my name is Jocelyn Landry-Tsonang. My background is in natural resource management. I'm a circular economy analyst, and I've been working in the circular economy space since 2019. And I now serve as an executive team member at the African Circular Economy Network, which is the premier network of circular economy practitioners in Africa. It is based in South Africa. So I also run my own company on the side called D&D Smart Construction, which is focused on eco-friendly housing. So we mainly focus on using sustainable materials and embedding circularity in the built environment in order to reduce the carbon footprint of the built environment, provide affordable houses to people back here in Cameroon, and also make sure these houses are aesthetic and very comfortable.
Okay.
Looking at your LinkedIn page, I see that you're dealing in circular economy, gender inclusion, sustainable cities, green tech, green invest, climate finance, biodiversity. How do you keep abreast of current developments in such a broad range of topics?
All these topics are somehow linked because circularity serves biodiversity conservation, serves green tech, serves climate finance. It's also an important tool to foster circularity and biodiversity preservation somehow. And we can't just think about the planet without thinking about the social aspects. So that is where the gender inclusion comes in, because it is very important on the transition to circular economy not to leave women behind, to also make sure that women are part of this transition, that they fully benefit from this transition, and that they are main stakeholders and active actors in the circular economy and climate finance and biodiversity preservation space. So all these areas of expertise are somehow interlinked, and I do practice like all of them on a regular basis.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I completely agree. So in your company, when you're talking about sustainable housing, kind of sustainable material are you using? And is your company actually preaching what you say? Do you have a lot of women? Do you work with a lot of local people? Where do you get your material? You know, how do you make that work there?
We work with sustainable material because one of our main materials is compressed earth brick. And what we do is that we source most of the earth that we use for the bricks on the site. This is mainly like earth that is like derived from excavation and other pre-foundation work from the site. And we use that earth in order not to throw it away. And most often when the earth on the site is not sufficient, we can get some material not far from the site in order to reduce the carbon footprint. So we don't transport materials for a longer distance. And we also manufacture our bricks on the site. We mostly using low tech in order to foster like job creation, because you know, in Africa, we have job and unemployment, which is very high. So why we do the low tech is because we really want to make sure we employ more youth who are jobless somehow. This is also our own way in promoting inclusion, sustainability, and also, yeah, gender and youth inclusion somehow.
Thank you very much. That's very clear. Can you tell us what is the ACEN exactly, the African Circular Economy Network?
Okay, so like I said, the African Circular Economy Network is a network of circular economy practitioners in Africa that was incorporated in 2016 in South Africa. So we're now serving like the continent's voice of circular economy, because, you know, it is very important for African voice to be heard in this global transition, so that we make sure that we are aligned in all the global goals, and that Africa is a very, is the least emitter continent, but it is the most vulnerable continent. So we have like on the 10 most vulnerable countries to climate change, 8 of them are in Africa, whereas Africa does not even emit up to 5% of global greenhouse gas. So it is very important to get the continent voice on all the global debates around circular economy, around climate change. So this is like what the African Circular Economy Network is promoting. So strengthening the capacities of various experts, taking the continent voice out there. And so we also work strategically with other organizations across the world. We also support in the African Circular Economy Alliance, which is a government-led organization of countries in order to foster circularity in Africa.
Yeah, it's very good to hear that, because it's what we try also to advocate to people, that the developed countries are the one, in fact, the most responsible for the CO2 emission. And it's not normal that African voices or less developed countries are not that heard in the discussions.
Continuing from this, we recently talked to a lady going by the moniker of Alizee CCM, who did circular economy in China. And she described the Chinese approach to us, to circular economy, to us as A, very long term, and B, very much top down. How do you do this in Africa?
This is exactly what we want to avoid. We want both approaches to be implemented in Africa, whether the top down or the bottom up approach, because it is very important to know what the people feel, what the people live on a daily basis, and go through a normal stakeholder engagement process to get their voice heard from the bottom to the top. And their voice should frame policies that are being developed in the circular economy space. Because if these policies are only developed from the top and brought down to the bottom, it is not going to get the effect that is expected. So we want to avoid what has been happening in the linear economy. So the circular economy should be more inclusive, should embed more humanity and more social equity. So in order for this to happen, the stakeholder engagement process is a very important one, to make sure all the categories of stakeholders have their voices are heard, and they are also part of the process, of the policy formulation process.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. We here in the West are used to the view of Africa as a whole, as a highly corrupt and practically unmanageable place. Now, this is obviously a grossly oversimplistic and stereotypical view. Could you tell us a little about what of this view is true and what isn't, and what can be done to make our view here more insightful?
Yeah, I think corruption is everywhere, not just in Africa. Just that it is being the manifestation of corruption is different in different spaces. So what I think is important is that the younger generation that is coming up is aware of this and really has the strong willingness to get things changed. And we really are very optimistic that things are going to change on the continent, because we are becoming more mindful of inclusive development. So I think we should not be fatalistic, if I can put it that way, and say nothing can be done. Because if you come to Africa, you will see that there are a lot of youths with very innovative ideas, with very innovative initiatives, who are pushing hard to get things done on the continent. And I think if they keep on pushing hard, and the government somehow will get aligned, and things will have to change. Yeah.
Very well.
Thank you very much.
What do you do in your personal life to be more sustainable?
What do I do in my personal life to be more sustainable? First, I, at the home level, I try to separate my waste. I try to, I have my own small composting box where I compost my organic waste. So I try to make small farming in my garden. I also try to reduce as much as possible in terms of textile that I purchase. So some people might at times see that I'm a bit old-fashioned because I don't buy too many new clothes. So I really make sure I only purchase what I truly need. And I also try to embed this into my kids because I'm a mom of four kids. I think it is very important to get the kids at a very tender age to understand that it is not good to waste. And they already know that in my house, you can't waste food. So no matter how hard it is, all the food that has been cooked must be eaten. So, and they're already aware of that.
That's very good indeed.
Indeed,
yes.
And knowing that 30% of the food is wasted, and within those 30%, 70% is what we waste at home, this is very good.
I think if everybody did what you just described, the planet would make a gigantic leap forward.
Yeah, so we are very hopeful that people become more and more conscious because in this transition, each and everyone effort will be very much appreciated and valued.
Yeah.
Yes, couldn't agree more. Okay, final question. If you had a magic wand to change whatever you want to change within the next 3 to 5 years, what would you do with it?
To change what I want to change is I would get more and more women to be in the decision-making position, not just in government, but very important in the private sector as well. Because as much as we are fighting about gender equality, there are still a lot of gender issues out there in so many sectors. So women still struggle a whole lot. So at times women, they have to choose between having a career or having kids, which is not normal. So I think if I had a magic hand, I would work more on the gender equality aspect because it is very important in ensuring a sustainable world. In as much as we want a better planet, we also want everyone. We also need everyone's participation. And for everyone's participation to be efficient, they need to be empowered. You know, women make most of the purchasing decision, and if they are not informed, if they are not educated, there will still be a lot of gaps, yeah, to be filled. So women empowerment will be one of my very strong wish for the planet.
Super, really.
Thank you very, very much. That really was very, very interesting.
Definitely. That was Jocelyn. We would like to really thank you for this interview. You highlighted a lot of things we believe in, and that's very refreshing.
Absolutely.
So, bye-bye, and thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, and all the best.
All the best, and to all our listeners.
Thank you very much, Audrey.
And for all our listeners, see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit science-by-trianon.com, where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.